Studying modern human history is easy. There's more written about it than you'd ever be able to read. But words are, you know, they're only going to take you so far back. Thousands of years, not millions of years. But to really dig deeply into human history and our origins, you have to dig, literally. Study the curves of a fossil skull or the length of a leg bone. Measure the size of the teeth, the gentle lines of a jawbone. Problem is, old bones, fossils, are hard to come by. So our historical record of certain eras, say 2 to 3 million years ago, is a little bit spotty, to say the least. But my next guest and his team announced this week the discovery of a key fossil, an ancient jaw, which fills in some of the shadowy history of our ancestors in the Homo genus, in that key period between 2 and 3 million years ago. Brian Villmore is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology at the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. He's also the lead author on a study describing the new fossil out in the journal Science this week. Welcome to Science Friday.
Thanks, Ira.
Tell us about this jawbone. What's so significant about it?
Well, there are two things that are significant about it. One is that it, as you said, fills in this gap to a certain extent. The other thing that's significant about it is that it's fairly close to the 3 million year time period. And before 3 million years, the human ancestors were fairly ape-like. Mm-hmm. But our jaw at only 2.8 has already become very similar to what we see much later around 2 in Homo habilis.
So is it fair to say it's some sort of missing link?
We don't really like to use that
term. I know you do. That's why I throw it in there.
Right, yeah, of course. It is a link, and there was a gap, but we're just not going to put those words together.
Right. So tell us what this – you say it fills in some unknown information. What exactly does it fill in more detail?
Sure. So we didn't know when Homo started. So Homo is significantly different from Australopithecus in that by the time you get to 2 million years, Homo is large-brained, dependent on stone tools, and eating meat. Mm-hmm. Those are sort of the signatures of us. But before that, before 3 million years, our ancestors were very ape-like. They had long arms, probably partially arboreal, lived in a forested environment. And if you had seen them, you would have said those look like apes, even though they could walk bipedally. So this transition between an ape-like and a human-like lifestyle had to have happened somewhere during that time period. So the fact that this jaw is at 2.8 and looks so much like what we see at 2 means that this transition may have happened fairly rapidly.
Yeah. In fact, the jawbone fossil was discovered sticking out of the side of a hill. And I want to play a little bit of a tape we have from Arizona State University grad student Chalachu Siyum, who made the discovery by accident, talking about it sticking out of the side of the hill.
It was January 29, 2013. In the morning, we went, as usual, to survey, and we were surveying the Liaidoita locality, and I was surveying that particular hill, and I climbed up checking the slopes of that hill, and I didn't find anything, and I kept walking up to the plateau, and on the other side of the hill, it is coming out of the sediment, just caught my eye, and immediately I sat down and closely looked, and I saw a piece of a jaw. After the discovery, we went back to camp, and the local Afar peoples were singing and dancing, and yeah, it was a great evening, and we really enjoyed it.
Sometimes you like to think about it's all lucky, but as famous people used to say, luck prefers the, you know, the prepared mind to find those things, Brian, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, Chalacho knows his anatomy, so I was on the other side of the hill, and I heard people yelling, and one of my colleagues, Kay Reed, came around the corner and said, Brian, come here. And so, yeah, it was a pretty significant moment for all of us. Mm-hmm. We knew right away that it was something important.
There's an interesting connection to another study that was released this week. I want to bring on another guest now. He just completed a new analysis of an ancient Homo habilis skull, suggesting the Homo genus goes back way further back than we thought. And then serendipitously, the fossil jawbone that you guys discovered, we're talking about, gives extra weight to that theory. Fred Spoor is a paleontologist at University College London. His paper on Homo habilis is out in the January Nature this week. Welcome to Science Friday.
Good evening or good afternoon, I think, for you.
Good afternoon, good evening, whichever one it is. So this was a serendipitous find that sort of backs up what you were predicting?
That is exactly right, yes. We did a virtual, so computer-based reconstruction of the original handyman, the fossil that was described to as a sort of a reference for the species Homo habilis. And we found actually that it was, in the jaw at least, much more primitive than we had thought. And with that, we started to speculate what would its ancestor actually would have looked like. And we didn't have any example that would fit. And then talking with one of the co-authors of the paper, to our surprise, we learned that our answer had been found. And that was a real surprise, and a very pleasant surprise it was.
Brian, did you know that this was the thing he was hoping to find?
No, I had no idea Fred was doing that.
No, this was with a colleague of Brian. This was with Bill Kimball. I showed him some of the results, because the main reason to do that actually was because Bill Kimball had been instrumental in describing what used to be the oldest evidence for the genus Homo, which is an upper jaw from about 2.3 million. And we found that Homo habilis was actually too primitive to fit with that upper jaw at 2.3. So I talked with Bill Kimball about this and said, well, you know, your jaw that you used to think was Homo habilis is probably too evolved to actually fit. So we are looking for a new ancestor. And he said, well, I have news for you. Not that long ago, we did find a lower jaw at 2.8. And, well, the story develops from there.
Wow. Brian, how much are we missing out in here in terms of learning more about this early specimen, based on the fact that you only have this jaw, you don't have a leg bone or a skull and so on?
No, that's right. I mean, there's almost no part of the body we wouldn't want to find, to be honest. Of course, we would love to have a brain case. The transition to Homo is normally associated with increased encephalization. But until we find a brain case, we won't know, you know, if that's true. And also, the limbs, like I said, Australopithecus is fairly ape-like, and Homo is proportioned more like a human, mm-hmm. Or a modern human. And so the question is where that transition occurred. But until we find limbs, yeah, of course, we won't know.
I'm Ira Flatow. This is Science Friday from PRI, Public Radio International. Talking with Fred Spoor and Brian Villmore. Are people still out there looking for more stuff?
Actually, I just returned late Sunday night from searching that exact locality. And then next year, we're going to go again, at least one more year, but probably quite a few more years.
Why is that the prime area? What is unique about that area that makes it a good place to look for fossils like that?
Well, there aren't that many areas that preserve that 2 to 3 million year gap, especially the 2.5 to 3 million year gap. I mean, I've been working on this project for a long time. It started in 2002, really. I was a grad student, Gary Reed and Charlie Lockwood at Arizona State University decided to start this this project then to look at this gap. And it's taken us this long to find decent fossil localities. Mm. So it's not like it just happened. I mean, it's been a long slog, I would say.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to the phones, see if I can get a call in here before we have to go. Let's go to Todd. Hi, Todd. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi, thanks. I just had a quick question. Earlier, the guest mentioned we don't use the term missing link anymore. And I wondered if he meant, is that just a really old school term? Did he mean with regards to this particular find, we're not ready to say that this is a missing link? Or what exactly do you mean by we don't use that term?
Good question.
Well, it's just because it's a buzzword that you sometimes see in a pseudoscientific context. In the fossil record, of course, there are gaps all throughout the fossil record. I mean, you don't have any area completely covered. So to call one particular slot of time, you know, the missing time period that the link would fill is doesn't really communicate what we're trying to say.
French Spoor, why?
Can I perhaps add to that? Because the thing that it also, by calling something a missing link, you suggest an evolutionary model that looks like a chain where we just put species all in a nice linear row, going from one something primitive to something more evolved. And that is just not a model that we actually find back in the fossil record. We discover more and more how erratic and bush-like evolution has been. And that's calling something a missing link, we just fill in one little gap and we know more, is sometimes quite misleading. It's the chances that we can actually find exactly the species that are transitional is relatively rare, just statistically speaking. So, yes, it's better to avoid that term.
Yeah, now it also stems, I think, from the same kind of thinking that when we say that humans descended from apes, that's not true either. There was some common ancestor back there, but we didn't descend from the apes. So it's that kind of missing link sort of idea, you know? Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
That's right.
So how far back do you think you can push this in finding other fossils, Ryan, Fred?
Well, we're going back and looking. So it's hard to say. You know, you have to take what the fossil record gives you. So we are going to try to push back to 2.9 and get close to that 3-million-year line, which is the last appearance of Lucy species, Australopithecus afarensis. So we're trying to find out, sort of narrow that time period.
Sounds very exciting. Well, we've run out of time, but we'll have you all back. We can celebrate if and when you do that, okay?
All right.
Brian Villmore is an assistant professor in the Department of Anthropology, University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Fred Spoor, paleontologist at University College London. Thank you, Dr. Spoor, for staying up for us this late.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for both of you.